Good morning.
Good morning.
WMMC is meeting tomorrow for a sloppy Joe lunch. Hi, Dave, I didn't see you come in.
Cool.
Good to see you here.
Sorry.
Lunch tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Sloppy Joe's, all women are welcome. Please feel free to come and join us. Would you like a head count, Ginny, or just come?
Just come.
Okay. Our latest membership address booklet is in the back on the table. Please feel free to take one, but one per family, please. I can always make up more, but I hate to copy up more than is needed. So that is the booklet that we had out on the table, and hopefully everyone got to make changes that were needed. There are flower forms back on the table also for Easter. They're the yellow form that is back there. The flowers are $7.50 a pot, and they're daffodils, tulips, and hyacinths. So please, you can start filling those out and put them in the collection place, Shelley?
Yes.
Okay, and then we'll get to them, and we'll make sure we have a beautiful altar for Easter. Also, we want to thank Courtney and Andy for giving us the flowers today. It's in honor of their fifth wedding anniversary, so that is wonderful. Thank you. And last but not least, the Transition Committee met last Tuesday. We'll be meeting every Tuesday for the next few months, and we'll try to put a half sheet or something in the bulletin so you know what we've worked on. Please understand that we need to go through the whole process before we even start to look for a new pastor. We're hoping to start looking sometime in June. This past week, we set up a schedule for our meetings. We listed our objectives that we feel are important to be working out. And we are presently making sure that we own the church and the land it is on, and that there are no liens against it, so we can go forward and start our process of leaving the UCC. As soon as we accomplish that, we will start putting the paperwork into process. If anyone knows of a lawyer that might be able to help us, please let one of the committee members know about it. Committee members are listed on the bulletin board out there, along with the consistory members, so both lists are out there. I know we have a couple leads for lawyers, but if anyone knows one that would like to help fairly cheaply, we would appreciate that. Other than that, I think that is it. Are there any other announcements? All right, thank you.
We have some names on the prayer list. Stephanie and Chase Blake. They've been on for several weeks. We wish them the best. Rick Kelly, Velma Boss, Joe Cirillo, and this has been requested by Joan. The family of George Havanick, and this is requested by Georgia. Georgia, I have to say, you must have gotten an A+ in penmanship in high school. I think the best I ever did was a C+, and that was probably pretty much of a gift. Okay, and lastly, the pastor's brother, Brian. Any other names to add to the list? That's good. Any joys? Well, thank you very much.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to rescue us. Thank you to the Holy Spirit for opening our eyes. We pray for these requests. A lot of heartache, permeated with hope, a belief that you can answer prayer and that you actually do that. Those who've lost their loved ones, for the struggles in relationships, for the difficulties in life, we pray for the grace to have a perspective from you that brings a peace that only you can give. We pray for your comfort to be a living thing. And we pray that those mentioned here, all of whom need to do this, would trust you one more time, even today. For what we can't control that you're aware of, we lift that to you. For situations that we don't even know where to start, we lift those to you. And again, God, for all the heartache that we deal with every day, but so grateful that you give a greater measure of hope, there's nothing you can't do. And we pray that you will do whatever it takes for you glorified and for our hearts to be blessed. And we pray as you've taught us, our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I can't help but let you know that my mom used to be asked, I'm the youngest of five boys, what do your sons do for a living? And she'd go through David, Matt, Mark, and Brian, she'd get to me, and she'd say, well, most people think he only works 1 hour a week, but it takes like four people to bring him all the money. And I just thought, can we again? For what that's worth, it's fun.
Proverbs 3:5-6. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 586. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths.
Thank you. I was also thinking while the bell choir was belling, or whatever it's called, playing, what a picture of how teamwork makes the dream work. And how fun to have that high bell to just the glory. Yeah. When I survey the wondrous cross, when we think about that's where Jesus died to show God's love for us and bring us into his family. Isn't that powerful? And what a blessed thing it is to sing the hymns and to be reminded of the truth of the gospel and the wonder and reality of who God actually is and what he's truly done. And it's meant to change everything. And when he finally is welcomed all the way into our heart, that hymn, trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. Give it your best shot. But if you won't trust and obey God, it's never going to work. And I'm just grateful again this morning to be with you and be reminded of all this important truth. And this morning's message hopefully will continue in that on that trajectory. Of course it will, as it comes from God's word. But as it pertains to this message about three powerful decisions with one guaranteed outcome, And it's clear as we see this in Proverbs that God's desire, no doubt, that God's desire is to guide us through life. After giving us the gift of eternal life, then he promises to guide us through this temporary life. And with you, I trust all of us can say with one heart and one voice, I just want what God wants me to want. That's what I want, whatever he wants me to want. Because he made us, and he knows us, and he loves us, and he knows what he's doing, and he has information we don't have, and he has a proven track record. Do you know how many times God has failed? You don't need to guess. It's zero. And because of that, we come with confidence. Some of my favorite sayings continue to guide me. One of them is this: you will never change your life until you change something you do daily. That's worth repeating. You will never change your life until you change something you believe daily, no. You think about daily, no. Something you do daily. That's how your life will change. A guy named Andy Andrews, this is another great, great statement. The decisions you make in the present determine the story you will tell in the future. Think about that. You and I are right where we're at today, physically, financially, relationally, and other key areas of our life because of choices we made in the past. And so I'll say it again. The decisions you make in the present determine the story you will, not might, but you will tell in the future. Because you know what choices carry with them? Consequences. And you can make your choices, but you can't make your consequences. And even if the consequences don't show up in this life, they will show up for every choice we made. And then was Peter Drucker. I think I may have shared this before, but if it bears repeating, it bears repeating. Successful people. And you've got to figure out what your working definition of success is. If your working definition of success is mink coats, Cadillacs, gold jewelry, and big houses, you might want to revisit what success truly is. But successful people don't do things differently. They do different things. Right? Show me anybody who's successful. And they're successful because they make quality decisions to put themselves into that category. It doesn't happen by chance, usually. I guess maybe sometimes it could. But by and large, success is the result of doing not just things differently, but different things. And in Psalm 119, which is out of the book that we're looking, one of the books of wisdom in the Old Testament, along with, of course, Proverbs, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And if you've ever been in the dark, in a place you've never been, on terrain you're not sure about, you know how important it is to have a light and a lamp, right? Otherwise, it could be deadly, actually, depending on where you're at and what's going on. The only way to get through life God's way is to let God tell us what God's way is. And he clearly says in his word that, and this is part, a big part of the focus that we're looking at this morning, that he's come to guide us. And not just, the wonder of wonders is it's not just to make a way, but that Jesus actually is the way. So if we follow him, he will lead us in life for now and forever. And that's, we're not talking about a good deal, we're talking about a great reality. So again, the title of the message is Three Powerful Decisions, One Guaranteed Outcome. Here's the theme, the sermon in a sentence. We can and should trust God to guide us. We can and should, just because we can doesn't mean we will. We can and should trust God to guide us. Because if we're letting anybody else guide us, ourselves or whatever your source of news is or any other input from supposed experts, if we're letting anybody else be the primary guide in our life except God, we've got the wrong person in front. Starting with us, if we think, you know, I'm the captain of my soul. There's a half-truth in that, but ultimately God is the Lord of all life. So we can and should trust God to guide us. The application, what to do with what you hear. Do what God says in order for that to happen to you. Because you're a candidate, and I'm a candidate, and every human being is a candidate for being led by the God of the universe. Don't you want that? Don't you know you need that? And then the focus, the core of the content to get us started. Someday someone is going to read the Bible and believe it, and we're all going to be embarrassed. I love that. And it's meant to make a very real point. Somebody truly takes God at his true word, get out of their way because they're going to rock the world. Someday somebody's going to read the Bible and believe it and we're all going to be embarrassed. I can't remember who I heard say that or where it was that I read that, but it resonates, that's for sure. If we really believe all scripture is inspired by God, it will show. Someone who takes God at his word lives an obedient life of Christ-like confidence, compassion, and conviction. There's no way to stay the same when we're surrendered to the one who desires the best for us. Because all of us are currently under construction, right? If our life was depicted on the highway, it would have orange barrels all around it as God has his way. Because he is redesigning and redirecting and constantly. Part of what Paul said is his heart's desire was to be conformed to the image of Christ. That kind of conforming takes all kinds of pressure and learning points and yielding to God when it's inconvenient. If you think becoming a Christian is going to make your life easier, think again. It's going to make it better, but it's not going to get any easier. In fact, in some ways it's going to get even harder. Today's message is meant to help us be more effective in our walk with and influence wounds for the Lord. And don't you want that? Don't you want your walk with and influence for the Lord to keep getting better? If you were going for an Olympic gold medal in swimming, you would do well to spend some time with Michael Phelps. Basketball, LeBron James. To learn acting, Denzel Washington. Or your favorite swimmer, basketball player, or actor or actress of choice. Living this one life, we are given the very best way it can be experienced and expressed. Yes, that's right. You need God for that. To live this life the best way it can be. So again, we heard Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and we'll hear it again, but before we do, I wanted to highlight Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, out of which the book, the phrase comes two chapters later that we're going to really focus on. And so here we go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The first point is this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a proverb, not a principle or promise. And while I'm going to hammer this hard, I'm going to hammer this quick, because it's imperative that we understand this, not just for this message this morning, but for our relationship with the Bible, which is directly tethered to our relationship with God. And so, again, the first point of this message is that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a proverb, not a principle or promise, or if we were in the New Testament, you could even say, or a parable. It's a proverb. Under the first point, it's important to differentiate between a principle, proverb, and a promise. So Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, the opening of the book, written by Solomon, and it says straight out of the gate what the book is and the purpose for which it's written. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning about wisdom and instruction. Full stop right now for that. That's what it's for. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is for. For learning about wisdom and instruction. And the working definition for wisdom probably should be something along the lines of the right application of knowledge. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. And you can't have knowledge without instruction. For understanding words of insight. For gaining instruction into wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. To teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then it ends, this particular introduction ends with this very familiar verse, I trust, to all of us. The fear of the Lord, and not the fear of I'm afraid of him, I can't draw near him, he's like the Wizard of Oz, not that kind of fear. The fear of the Lord, the reverential awe would be a more accurate rendering. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, real knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's a harsh word. Don't be calling people fools. Maybe call it their foolish behavior. But it says right here, and it makes it clear, it identifies fools as a category of people. And who are the fools? The ones who make foolish choices. And what's one of the most foolish choices you can make? To ignore God and to ignore God's word and then be left to try to fake it till you make it and whatever wisdom you might have or gain from here or there. But the knowledge that we need is connected to the wisdom only God gives. So the importance of this cannot be overstated, especially when it comes to Scripture. To treat something as though it's something it isn't just a recipe for frustration. It's a recipe for failure and futility. This is crucial to know and imperative to remember. And why hammer this so hard? Because it's that important. A proverb, which is what this is meant to communicate wisdom, not declare immutable truth. A proverb is meant to communicate wisdom, not declare an immutable truth. And we'll see that when we get to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 more clearly. The verses that are reference there, let's look at that in Proverbs 22. I'll just turn there, you can just listen. Proverbs 22:6, it says this. And again, to make the point that Proverbs are proverbs, not principles and promises or parables. Proverbs 22:6. Yep. I'm not used to a Bible with such small print with so many things on just a couple pages. Here we go, Proverbs 22, because I need the large print. Proverbs 22, verse 6. train children in the right way, and when old they will not stray. Some translations say, train your child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. That's a proverb, not a promise. Because I know many people who train their children up in the ways of the Lord, and they are not walking with him. And you see the trouble that brings if you believe it's a promise you can claim and present to God and say, I believe it. It's not a promise. A proverb is more of closely related to a principle. It's a wise statement. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is a proverb, not a promise. Do you see that? Do you see the point there? Because then that will mess with your heart. Then you think God's a liar. This is a promise God gave us. No, it's not a promise God gave us. It's a proverb. It's a wisdom statement that is general in its truth, but specifically, it doesn't always happen. And then in Acts 16:31, that's the context where Peter is busted out of jail, and the jailer is about to take his own life because he knows the way they're going to kill him, because the prisoner's escape would be worse than committing suicide in the moment. And Peter goes, no, we're here. Are we still here? And then he says in Acts 16:31, you and your household will be saved. And again, that is documenting an event specifically for the jailer. It's not everybody, every Christian's promise to claim for their unsaved family members. Does that make sense? You and your household will be saved. You'll be baptized tonight. But he was speaking to the jailer, not to you and me 2,000 years down the road. And again, I think I said this earlier, the book of Acts is primarily descriptive, not prescriptive. You don't get the doctrine and theology until Romans. The book of Acts is a bridge between the Gospels and the Epistles. And basically what it is Luke just writing a new story. He's detailing events. So the book of Acts, don't go looking for theology in the book of Acts. It's describing how the church was born. I hope that makes sense. And then last but not least, in Ephesians 6:4, we find these words. Ephesians 6:4, Galatians. There we go. Wow, those are tiny, tiny letters. Ephesians 6:4. It says this. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And again, that is a principle, because there are fathers and mothers who provide for their sons and daughters a godly, nurturing, loving, gracious home, and some of those children don't follow the Lord. Right? And that's heartbreaking, because we have one of those. It is heartbreaking. To this day, our son still calls God my imaginary friend. It breaks my heart. But we keep loving him, because we know God does too. And he's not big enough to lose a fight with God. And God is after him, we know that. But again, that's the point. And so I won't hammer it, I won't belabor it, but I wanted to get that out of the way. Not to get it out of the way, but to state it up front, that proverbs are proverbs. They're not promises. Don't claim them as though they're immutable promises for all time in every culture, in every situation, because they're wisdom statements. Now we'll get to the heart of the message, the second point. Proverbs 3:5-6. Tells us there are three decisions we can make. If you're filling in the blanks, there are three decisions that we can make that will literally, not just figuratively, but literally change the direction and designation of our lives. And we will now be designated as people who trust in the Lord with all their heart, and lean not on their own understanding, and in all their ways acknowledge him. That's how we'll be designated. And then the payoff of what we see at the very end, he will direct our paths. We'll be led by him. So that's the second point. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us there are three decisions we can make that will literally change the direction and designation to very important realities. Where you're headed is either to a to eternity with God or eternity without God. Those are the two final eternal destinations. And until you're following Him, you're not headed toward heaven. And that's why it's so important. But not just your direction, but your designation. Your life will be defined, or it will clearly be seen as a life that is being led by God. Not because you don't fail along the way or stumble or fall, but because you are acknowledging Him. You are trusting Him. You're obeying Him. We just sang about that. And He will direct you. So, under that second point, it says, wisdom invites us to know and show these choices. And you can use, of course, it would seem appropriate to say, you can use interchangeably the words decisions and choices, because a choice is a decision is a choice. So again, Proverbs 3, 5 through the beginning of 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Boom. There it is. So simple, so clear, hopefully so compelling and so convicting and so convincing that we say in our hearts, yeah, I don't just want that, I need that, I need to choose that. This is the A plus B plus C equals D part of it. This is the A, B, and C. And again, it's not a math equation, but it is an if-then, as we talked about last week. It's an if-then. If you and I will do these two things, then we will see this fourth thing happen. It's the heart of what this is all about. And here's the story behind the day that this became so very clear to me. Some of us are old enough, probably many of us as I look around and in the mirror, are old enough to remember what happened in L.A. with Rodney King. Does anybody remember that horrible time in American history? Just so violent and so ugly. It was Rodney King who was credited with coining the phrase, why can't we all get along? I didn't ask to be black, you didn't ask to be white, they didn't ask to be whatever. Why can't we just get along? And the assistant chief of police in L.A. was a strong believer during that time, and before and after, by God's grace. And he was fired as the assistant chief of from the department. Because while he was on the clock, while he was wearing his uniform, he was led to share his faith with someone. Not pushing it, not shoving it. It was an invitation. Would you tell me about it? So, but while he was on the clock, with his uniform on, he shared his faith in Christ. And somebody witnessed that and blew the whistle on that and got him fired. After years of faithful service. How sad is that? But, so post that, he's very involved in his church, very well known in the community as the assistant chief of police. And he was asked to speak at, I think it was a Christian high school, that to the seniors that were on their way to graduating. And of course, graduating from high school is a very transitional time. And if you don't know where you're going or what you're going to do, that can be very difficult. So he was sharing, and I heard this on a Focus on the Family broadcast back in the day. And he told this story about to these kids, trying to help them understand. You don't need to do this on your own. You don't need to make a map up as you go. You don't need to try to figure out, while it's happening, who you're going to follow. You can make this quality decision up front, and you can do these things. And he spoke from this passage of Scripture to the high school students. And he broke it down this simply. He said, if A plus B plus C is what you choose, then I am able to promise, based on the wisdom of God and what He says in this passage of Proverbs 3, He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you. And then he just in a few minutes made it clear to all these kids. And he said, this is sequential. And it's intentional. And you have to wrestle with this. You can't just go blah, 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 blah. You have to wrestle with this. And the first part of verse 5 says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then the question that begs is, are you or aren't you? And please, in attempting to answer that question, it should just be a simple yes or no by God's grace, as best you know, because nobody follows God totally, always, with the entirety of their heart. That's a problem when you take everything literally. With all your heart means with everything you've got, with as much passion as you can bring to the table. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because have you or haven't you learned yet, you can't always trust yourself. Have you ever failed yourself since you got up this morning? Seriously. Have you ever failed yourself? Of course you have. Have other people failed you? Yes. We're humans. We're fallen. We're frail. We never bat 1,000. But some people bat 900 by God's grace, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Are you or aren't you? Don't blow by this. Really wrestle with this. What areas of your life have you planted your flag that says, I'm in charge of this area? There are rooms you're not going to get to, God. Oh, that is stupid. Take the hinges off every door in your heart. Let him in. Are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? Are you or aren't you? Once you resolve that as best you can, carry on. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the second part of the fifth verse. Lean not on your understanding. Don't rely on what only you know. Because guess what you know? Well, in compared to God, yes, nothing. And in a very real sense, next to nothing. If this is a box representing everything that can be known, right there, everything that can be known about everything that can be known, you and I know, boop, that much. Right? If you're relying on your own understanding, on the knowledge you have, that's the kiddie pool. That's not even the adult pool in the shallow end. If you're trying to rely on only what you know to make life decisions, it's over before you start. And it's an invitation as much as it is a declaration here. Don't rely on your own insight. We're better together. There, in Ecclesiastes, it says two are better than one. Cord of three strands is not easily broken. We are much better together. You've heard the phrase brain trust, right? You get a bunch of brainiacs together in a room. That's like a bank with $10 million if knowledge was money. You want the trust of other people who know what you don't know, who've had experiences you haven't had, from whom you can learn. Otherwise, you're only going to get so far in life, and you're going to limp the whole way. Don't lean on your own understanding. There's someone you can turn to named God who knows everything, past, present, and future. So, trust the Lord with all your heart. Are you or aren't you? Do not rely only on your own insight. Are you or aren't you? You know, some of the best ways to learn today, this is the upside of the technology and the internet. There are so many books that you can access now for free that you can listen to. There are training and teaching videos. I remember when I started playing trumpet, I wanted to take lessons, one lesson from a guy who played on the Saturday Night Live band, the trumpet player, Alan Rubin, for years back in the 80s. He was the trumpet player in the Saturday Night Live band. I wanted to get a lesson from him. I guess what I had to do? Send a letter? Wait for days for him to get it and see if he'd even respond, and wait to see how long it took to send back, if I could even get his number to see him, spend all the money to drive out there back. Now, you can just go online and watch a video. There's so much to learn, and there's so little that we know. So don't lean on your understanding. And then last but not least, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Are you or aren't you? And I'm just, again, I say this regularly, especially here before I go. Fellow struggler to fellow struggler, we're all fellow strugglers. And when God tells us in Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways to acknowledge him, the him he's inviting us to acknowledge is him, is God. Because if we acknowledge God as our leader, guess where he's never going to lead us? The one big thing he's going to never lead us to do, ever, sin. He will never lead us to sin. If you're tempted and you're sorely tempted and you're thinking about getting into it and you acknowledge God, you have hope. He will never lead us to a place we shouldn't be. He'll always take us to the place he intends us to be, We may be curious about it. Like, I didn't think this was part of your will. Okay, that's okay. But if we're acknowledging him and he leads us, we may find years down the road why he led us that way, who it was we met that we had no idea was going to change our life down the road, that kind of thing. So again, without belaboring this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And if you and I will make that quality choice and do those three things, not just once, well, yeah, I did that back on a Tuesday in 78. No, it's a daily thing. It's a relationship that needs to be reestablished every day and strengthened. We talked about that. Every relationship has initial discovery, mutual commitment, and continuance. That's a relationship. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Not just on the odd number of days of the month, right? Every single day. And so that is comforting. Like, what's your business and how's business? Two of my favorite questions. This is similar in that unless and until we are willing to ask the three questions about the three admonishments and answer them honestly, we're going to keep spinning our wheels. If you and I won't trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and we won't stop leaning on our own understanding, and we won't acknowledge him in any ways, in all our ways, then it's kind of like spinning your wheels. And where we used to live on Linwood Avenue in Cuyahoga Falls, it was one of those old side streets with no edge to the road, a ditch, and then the sidewalk. No, the sidewalk should be next to the road, not be by the ditch. And so our first year there, the first winter, we heard what we were here at least 6 or 7 times every winter from our house. And obviously somebody fell in the ditch. They were too close to the edge and they didn't see where it was plowed. Boom, they're in the ditch. Listen, you can spin your tires till the bottom of the car is supporting you, not the tires, till you empty your gas tank. And if you're in that position, in that ditch, guess what? You're not getting out on your own. You will spin your wheels in futility. And I remember a long time ago somebody saying in a very real way, a rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. That's about how powerful habits are. A rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. You can't get out of a rut without the help of somebody else. I'm thrilled to tell you that. I think in all the years we lived here, a lot of years, only twice did they have to call a tow truck. Because it was a cue to all the neighbors who heard the tires coming to come out with their shovels and gloves, and we'd always get them out. Oh, no charge. It was so fun. Not for them, but that's a picture of life if we're not going to do what it says in Proverbs. I think, is it Dr. Filler said, how's that working for you? Is that the guy who says that? How's that working out for you or something? Yeah, you go ahead, keep spinning your wheels, drain the gas tank, ruin the underbelly of your car, but you're not getting out without help. We're not going to live life the way God intends without God leading us. Last but not least, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And these are just the words that came to my mind. I'm not much of a dancer on the dance floor with smooth moves, but I love to dance when nobody's looking. And it usually happens after I'm through exercising and I've just heard this incredible worship song or something. I'll jump off our elliptical or while I'm walking and running occasionally. I'll just start dancing. And so, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 invites us to rest, dance, and delight in God's wisdom, knowledge, and power. Those are the blanks on that third point. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 invites us to rest. My life's being led by God. I don't need to get any ulcers. God is leading my life. I can rest in him. I can rest in that. Invites us to rest, dance, and delight. I think of that, it's Psalm 16:11 that says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Psalm 16:11. In your presence there is fullness of joy. We can delight in him. And what we can rest, dance, and delight in is God's wisdom, knowledge, and power. Because we see this. What does the last part of verse 6 in Proverbs 3 say? He will direct your paths. If you will. As I said a moment ago, it may not be the way you thought it would be, or he might take you someplace you never thought you'd go, but if God's directing you, guess what you should do? Whatever he says. I often think of my days back in the days when I was playing a lot here and there, and a lot of the things I enjoyed playing were some of the really great orchestral works for, you know, full orchestra that featured the trumpet. The 1812 Overture was always fun. The trumpets got that, not the oboes. It's just so much fun. But here's the thing. When you're in an orchestra and you're one of dozens and dozens of musicians, you can't be looking at each other. Who do you look at? The conductor. And if everybody's looking at the conductor, guess what happens? Beautiful music. If nobody's looking at the conductor, guess what happens? You don't even want to hear it. What a picture of this. He will direct your paths. He's the composer and the conductor of your life. And he's got a beautiful melody written just for you. So find him and follow him. And that's what it says under the third point. This is the great if-then example of better choices meaning fewer regrets. And here's the outcome we experience for having made those first three life-giving, life-lifting, life-sustaining, and life-perpetuating choices. The Lord will direct your paths. God himself will guide you through what at times feels like a labyrinth of life. So what are you going to do? What are you waiting for? If this is really resonating with you, and I prayed that it would, and I would imagine there's somebody in this room with whom it's resonated most, and somebody in this room who maybe it hasn't really resonated at all. That's okay. But it's the Spirit's work and God's timing. But I want to do this. And I know I've maybe gone a little over. I'm not sure how long you normally meet, and I do tend to use too many words. But I want to give you this opportunity. In the last 20 plus years of ministries, this may be the fifth or sixth time I've done this. Because I don't want to play on the emotions. Back in the old days, it was called the mourner's bench. And people would come back Monday after a Sunday service to deal with what God spoke to them. Because one of the great quotes from it was a Baptist preacher in PA, he said, all you pastors who record your decisions for Christ on Sunday, and come Monday, you can't tell what they decided. That's a real battle. But I will say this. There might be somebody here this morning, and I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but when we pray, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And if you're somebody this morning for whom this message has really pierced you in some kind of real way, that has become so clear to you by God's Spirit, if you will do these three things, that outcome can be yours. God will direct your paths. If that means something special to you in a deeper way than you were expecting this morning, when we pray, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come forward. But I want to pray specifically for anybody here for whom this message has your first name on it. How thrilling it would be to see every hand go up. But if none or one or two or whatever. But I'm just priming the pump to give you that opportunity now. So when we pray, I'm going to ask if this message has really spoken to you, for you to raise your hand. And we'll just pause and pray for a moment. The making of real questions. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a proverb, not a principle or promise. The question here is, have you ever acknowledged and wrestled with the need to differentiate and discern between proverb, principle, and promise? That's in your outline there. The second question, does seeing how clear and simple these are all to comfort and encourage you? That's what that's there for. They're here to comfort and encourage you. Trust God with everything you've got. Don't lean on only what you've got. In everything you do, acknowledge him. That should comfort and encourage you because he offers you the opportunity to do that. And what has been your experience, last but not least, what has been your experience of God showing you which path to take? I could point to several things in my life when I was, by God's grace, acknowledging him in all my ways and how he took me places I never thought I'd go. And they've been a big, 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 big part of defining my life. All because God has his way by his grace in and through my life. And with you, I want that. I want that for you, and I want you to want that for me, so that our lives have the biggest impact possible before our final breath. I want to acknowledge God in all my ways, because that will change not just my direction and not just my designation, but it will change the influence and impact I have, you have, we have together. And so with you, again, I am grateful for the grace God gives to believe him and obey him and simply do what he says. I think back to, you know, when I did get some trumpet lessons with some pretty famous people. Could you imagine if I talked back to them and told them, I think that's stupid? Who's the student? Right? Who's in charge here for us? God is the one who leads us. God is the one we can trust, not ourselves. Here's the action step. Memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, whatever translation you like. I think the one I memorized it in was the New King James. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I can't tell you how much that has meant to me and how much better my life goes when I embrace that. And after you memorize it, ask God to give you experiential knowledge of what happens as we continue to keep making these life-giving choices, because you renew it every day. There's no accrued interest on our obedience, is there? Every day is a new opportunity. And by God's grace, we will do this together. For his glory, let's pray. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father in heaven, thank you for this time, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Help us to remember it's a proverb, not a promise. But do help us to take you at your word, believing that this principle, these principles for life, brush right up against the promise in that you have set this in motion. If we do these three, make these three choices, you have promised to guide our paths, to direct our paths. And so with every head bowed and eye closed, is there anyone here this morning for whom this message has really pierced you and resonated with you, and you know you need to take this to heart? Yeah. Anybody else? All right. You can put your hands down. Father, you've seen those who responded in a special way today. We pray together for each and every one of us. But for, as it turns out, the one who raised her hand, we pray especially, God, that you will take this message by your Spirit even now and just graciously drive it in a little deeper, in a more meaningful way. For our sister and for all of us, we pray that trusting you with all of our heart and leaning not on our own understanding and in acknowledging you in all of our ways, knowing that that means you will direct our paths, we pray that each one of us would do this in a deeper, clearer, more meaningful, more magnificent way than we ever have before. God, if we can't trust you, we are hopeless. And we can. And we are hopeful for it. Thank you for taking this message and applying it to our lives. And may the end result be that we become more and more and more like Jesus as the days ahead unfold. And we pray together in his mighty name. Amen. Amen.